Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The secret to catching prize-worthy fish? Fishing like a local. Jonas Knox here with Fishing Booker. The valuable knowledge of a local guide can turn a fishing trip of no bites into the best catch of the day. Go to fishingbooker.com to discover thousands of local fishing charters from all around the world and create your perfect angling adventure with their easy-to-use online booking system. Visit fishingbooker.com and book your trip today. Fishing Booker. Fishing trips made easy. Hey, it's Jonas Knox. Winter is coming. Heavy rain, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires up for the challenge? In the season's worst conditions, winter tires are a game changer. They elevate traction, control, and confidence. They sell only the best, like the full line of Kumho tires. Go to TireRack.com/sports. Tell them what you drive. Your tires will ship fast and free to your one of over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
I think the AFC South is one of the most intriguing divisions in all of football. And last night we got a matchup between the other most intriguing division, perhaps, in all of football, the NFC South. To me, these two divisions, the NFC South and the AFC South, I know it's the preseason. I know Cam Newton did not play. We did get to see the debut of Christian McCaffrey. We did get to see the debut of Deshaun Watson. And let's be honest, everyone is so desperate for football that it's natural to overreact to a random Wednesday night preseason game. But Deshaun Watson looked pretty decent in his debut. 15 of 25, 179 yards passing. And performed decently. Tom Savage got the start as the Texans quarterback battle rolls into the official preseason games. And I thought maybe it's a good window to jump into breaking down both of these divisions. Because to me, the AFC South and the NFC South could end up being down the road a little bit mirror images of each other. Let me explain why. Right now, the NFC South has the best quarterbacks in the entirety of the NFL, right? If you break them down 1-4, there could even be substantial argument about how to rank all the guys in this division. You have the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, top to bottom, in the NFC South. You've got Drew Brees, first ballot for sure, Hall of Famer, who still looks like he has a couple of years left and obviously has already won a Super Bowl. You have Matt Ryan, who basically won a Super Bowl and then managed to lose a Super Bowl, right, with the Falcons. You've got Cam Newton, who was the MVP 2 years ago and entered the Super Bowl as a prohibitive favorite to win against the Denver Broncos until the Denver Bronco defense put him on his back, and he hasn't been the same guy since. And then you got Jameis Winston, who is probably the second or third best young quarterback right now in the NFL as he enters his third year. All four of those guys are legitimate, bona fide, top 20 for sure quarterbacks in the NFL. And three of them arguably are MVPs, right? I mean, you can literally say they're MVPs, Drew Brees, Cam Newton, and Matt Ryan. So predicting who's going to win the NFC South is maybe the toughest decision to make in all of football when it comes to divisions. You could tell me right now any of these teams could go 12-4, and I wouldn't blink an eye, right? There's no other division you can say that in football. You could tell me that maybe the Saints are the one team where if I said that, you'd say, man, that seems really unlikely. But given how good Breeze is, and at some point you think they're finally going to get better on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think that's an outlandish position to take, again, because the quarterback position matters so much. All right, let's table the NFC South for a minute. Best quarterbacks in all of the NFL. Anything can happen. Legitimately incredible division and talent. 8 games you play in that NFC South division where you got heavyweights throwing punches at each other. All right, let's look at the AFC South. If the Houston Texans could ever find a quarterback, and I know we've been saying this for several years now, and I know Bill O'Brien came down to Houston with this reputation as a quarterback whisperer, and everybody he plugs in so far has been a disaster. But they got Deshaun Watson pretty far down in the first round. And Deshaun Watson has played a lot of big games over the years. And there's a guy by the name of Dak Prescott who a lot of people didn't believe in. And then he started off that first preseason game playing really well. And everybody said, man, Dak Prescott looks incredible. And then everybody said, yeah, but it's the preseason. Then he played really well in the second preseason game. People said, man, Dak Prescott looks really good. And then everybody said, yeah, but it's a preseason. Happened in third game, happened the fourth game. Next thing you know, season starts, Dak Prescott looks about like he did in the preseason. So I think the fact that Dak Prescott looked so good throughout his entire preseason last year and then dominated in the season itself means that for a lot of people out there who say, yeah, but it's only the preseason, I understand that argument, but Dak Prescott basically dunked on that argument last year. From the moment he started playing with the Dallas Cowboys until the moment when he started the regular season, it was a seamless transition, and his play in the regular season reflected what he looked like in the preseason as well. Not saying the same thing is going to be true with Deshaun Watson necessarily, but I think the idea, which had been out there for a very long time, that you couldn't in any way approximate what happens in the regular season based off of what happens in the preseason, really got dunked on by the entire Dak Prescott experience. So Deshaun Watson looked pretty good. We know the Texans' defense is going to be good. We know the Texans have pretty good wide receivers, right? Will Fuller, if he can eventually get out of his Stonehand stage, has the potential to be really, really good. DeAndre Hopkins already, notwithstanding last year's performance, is one of the best receivers in the league. So the Texans are not very far away from being an excellent team. I believe the Tennessee Titans are poised to take a tremendous leap forward with Marcus Mariota this year, assuming that is that they can keep him healthy. Both of the years that Marcus Mariota has played so far have ended with injuries. First year, maybe they got a little bit cautious, knee dinged up, team stunk. They decided to sit him down the stretch. Second year, he breaks his leg in a tough loss on the road in Jacksonville that basically cost the Titans the division. But if they could keep Marcus Mariota healthy, they went out and made a lot of moves on the offensive side of the ball. They drafted a receiver first overall among all receivers in Corey Davis out of Western Michigan. They went and got another receiver, downfield threat, Tywin Taylor, I believe is his name, out of Western Kentucky. And they found a guy they think is going to be pretty good in Jonnu Smith, a tight end. They went and got a lot of weapons for Marcus Mariota. And they've slowly built that offense. They already had a good tight end in Delanie Walker. In the backfield, they proved that they basically have two guys, right, that they believe that they're really confident in. They went and got Murray, and then they grabbed Derrick Henry. And so you plug both of those guys in, and things look really good there. Now they finally have some wide receivers. I think the Titans could go 11-5 or 10-6 and win this division very, very easily. Vegas tells you this is the most competitive division in all of the NFL because there are 3 teams, and I've named 2 of them, obviously the Texans, who won this division last year despite their awful quarterback play, and the Titans, who tied with the Texans but lost the tiebreak. And then the other one is, what's going to happen with the health of Andrew Luck? We still don't know exactly whether he's recovered or not, but if he is recovered, then we know Andrew Luck is a different caliber quarterback. I still believe he's going to win multiple Super Bowls before his career is over. But the real question is he healthy? And those are three teams then, a younger version of the NFC South, which is why this is such an intriguing preseason game to me, because you have the four best quarterbacks in the NFL in a division in the NFC South, and then you have three guys. I know Andrew Luck and I know Marcus Mariota are really good, and I think we'll see what happens with the Texans, whether or not they can ever find anybody. And then the final play there, I'm sorry for everybody listening in Jacksonville, but Blake Bortles is not the answer. Blake Bortles is not the answer, but you guys, if you were smart, would just dive back into futility and make the decision to get into the Sam Darnold sweepstakes. I mean, I really would if I were a Jags fan. I would say, I have seen enough of Blake Bortles. We don't need to continue this mirage of Blake Bortles as the savior of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's go ahead, even though they've gotten a lot better talent around him. What's the benefit of going 6-10 or 7-9 and picking 12th or 13th overall and missing out on Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, who I believe will be the top two quarterbacks taken in this upcoming NFL draft? I don't believe there's ever been better quarterbacks at UCLA and USC at the same time. Only other comparison, if you're a college football fan, is Rodney Pete and Troy Aikman were at SC and UCLA at the same time. If you guys have not spent much time watching Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, these guys are the real deal. I think I like Darnold more just because he reminds me a little bit more of Andrew Luck, and I think he's tougher and more mobile, got a little bit more grit to him, and I think that matters in the NFL. But I also see some Peyton Manning in Josh Rosen. I think Josh Rosen is the kind of guy, as he evolves as a player, who can be Peyton Manning-like in that he rarely, if ever, gets hit when he's releasing the football. I think all of those things can factor in, but if I were the Jaguars, I would make the decision, you know what? Let's go ahead and admit that the Blake Bortles era is over. Let's worry about the future of this franchise as opposed to trying to be competitive this year. All of that spiraling out of last night's preseason football game between the Texans and the Panthers. The NFC South, the division with the best quarterbacks in all of football. The AFC South with the division, potentially, if Deshaun Watson panned out, with the best young quarterbacks in all of football. A lot to discuss, obviously, as we move into Thursday. The PGA Championship teeing off here in a couple of hours. Will Jordan Spieth complete his Grand Slam tour already at the age of 23? Will Rory McIlroy get back on the winning track? Lots to discuss surrounding the PGA. We'll be discussing that tomorrow. At the bottom of the hour, if you hate me, if you love seeing me humiliated, I have got the guy who runs a website and also a Twitter feed called Old Takes Exposed, where he goes out and finds all the things that people have screwed up in my business. If you're in the sports media and you've had bad opinions and you've been proven wrong, then he is going to come on and talk about the dumbest opinions that I have ever given, and also who makes consistently the dumbest opinions in sports. He's going to join us at the bottom of this hour. But I will open up phone lines. I'll bring in the crew here in the next segment. 877-996-6369. If you watched that Panthers-Texans game and you were desperate for football, what do you think of my analysis? NFC South with the best quarterbacks in all of football. AFC South with potentially the best young quarterbacks in all of football. Is it too soon to say the Texans may have gotten a steal with Deshaun Watson?
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We are joined now by a guy that a lot of you may be familiar with if you're on Twitter. If you're not, he's a pretty outstanding follow. He's Fred Segal, I'm guessing is how you pronounce it. I'm not actually sure. At Old Takes Exposed, he is an incredible researcher who will go back and look at predictions and figure out how fraught with peril they are. We'll go to my worst predictions of all time that he collated. You can go read them at outkick.com. If you go to that website and you want to see the dumbest ideas I've ever had about the world of sports and beyond, he put them all together. Wildly popular yesterday on the site. And we bring him in now at Old Takes Exposed. Fred, my man, what's going on?
Good morning, Clay. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you getting up early with us. You're down in West Palm Beach, Florida. You are an attorney. And I want to know, how did you get into this business? How did you decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep track of all these opinions, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to track them down, and I'm going to retweet them so that we basically have this hot take culture where everybody wants to immediately overreact to everything. And you said, let's hold some people accountable. Where did this idea come from?
It came off a whim. Just, you know, I've been on Twitter since 2009. That's where I get all my sports news and sports opinions and information. And I kind of got sick of all the journalists or reporters who would pat themselves in the back and say, well, just like I predicted 5 weeks ago, and then post their own tweet. And I have a tremendous recall of what people say. And that's really how it started. I would remember that same reporter 3 weeks ago saying something that was completely wrong. And I tell it to my friends. My friends said, Fred, you should make an account that posts everything that they said that was wrong, and you know, make fun of them for it. So I immediately just made it up. I made up the name and the account handle right on a whim. I posted it, and it took off immediately. I didn't expect it to be like this at all at the time.
So when did you create this account? And people out there who are interested and intrigued and want to be following it, the account is, well, first of all, I'll retweet it. You can go to my account if you follow me already, at Clay Travis, and you'll see him, because I retweeted his article that was about all of my failed predictions. But if you're just out there and you're trying to find it, he's at Old Takes Exposed. And so you're an attorney otherwise, so you practice law full time. So I appreciate that, because when I started writing online, I was an attorney too. What has that been like for your legal practice? How often do the two worlds collide?
Well, they don't really collide all that often. Now, it's even easier because during the workday, like if I look at my phone, say every hour or so, I'll have just a substantial amount of notifications suggesting to me all the tweets that I can use. So you'll see a lot of retweets during the workday. That's because everyone's already sending me all the material. So it's easy for me. But to be able to do the site, I mean, to do the Twitter feed and to do all the other things I'm doing and do work, it's a lot of work. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah, no, I can. I definitely have been there. Let me ask you this. Who is the worst at predicting things in your experience? When you go back, you're just like, I can't believe all of the things that this guy had. I bet it's almost all guys, right? Are guys more prone to ridiculous opinions in sports than women? Because I see you retweeting guys a lot more. Is that because men tend to be overconfident or maybe more blusterous in their opinion? But in general, let's start with that first question. Who have you found to get the most things consistently wrong?
Well, I mean, Skip Bayless is number one.
It's like a different level of
wrong. It's a different level. It's at a point where I don't even use him that much. People get annoyed because it's too easy.
And do you think is Skip a perfect example that people don't actually care if sports prognosticators are right? They just care if they have an opinion? Like, because Skip is the ultimate hot take artist, right? Because people don't even seem to care. Skip has said everything of every angle, to the point where his opinions have been so ridiculously wrong that people don't even care. It's hard to even make people surprised when Skip Bayless is wrong now.
Right. But I think that we take for granted the fact that, or we just kind of miscalculate the fact that people on Twitter like us care. But then there's substantially more people that kind of overtake us that don't care.
Right.
So there's like a little subset of people on Twitter who are outraged by all of Skip's terrible takes, but then there's so many other people who don't care.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting.
People who make Skip famous.
Yeah, it's interesting, Fred, because I have kind of in this world, it's not what people get mad at me about, and I mean, I think this is true, is not being right or wrong, right? Because you can go back and look at whether you're right or wrong. They get mad if you're boring. Right.
I mean, right.
And ultimately, I think that's maybe the genius of Skip Bayless. He recognized early on, maybe before most people, that being wrong doesn't hurt his brand. It's being boring that hurts his brand. Now, I just can't. And people may be surprised by this. I can't be as shameless as Skip Bayless, because I don't see the world naturally in a hyperbolic fashion. So I'm more of a, probability guy. So I sit and watch, and I want to make sure that I feel confident in my opinion. And look, you got a huge list of things that I've gotten wrong. But I think Skip might actually believe it, which is why, it's a little bit crazy. Who else other than Skip do you look at and say, my God, this guy gets so many things wrong?
Well, it's tough because I don't have kind of a collection to everybody's opinions. But if you look at what Fox Sports Radio does, which kind of helps me a lot, and it does it with you too, is that it posts all of your takes from your show.
Right.
Like five of them every single day to memorialize it. That, for me, allows me to get guys like Colin Cowherd so much.
Right, because you have access to the opinions.
Yeah, he has like 4 hours of radio, or 3 hours.
3 hours of radio plus an hour television show every day.
Yes, exactly. He has about 7 takes per day on his posted on, and he's just I could use him every single day if I wanted to, but it's like how many takes does he do during a day? So Stephen A. Smith would be much better if I could do that with him. They don't post as many takes from him.
Yeah.
So, but he would be up there with Skip and Colin.
Skip and Colin, I think in general, get ripped a lot on Twitter. I will say this. I don't think that the average person understands how much talent is required in order to do what both of those guys do, especially Colin. Because I do a 3-hour radio show, and I've got Jason Martin and Danny G and Justin back in my production studio who can help out. But 3 hours of daily radio as a solo host is a rare skill set, right? And then you combine that in Colin's case with another hour of television. Now, I do a Periscope and a Facebook, but every day that's a lot of opinion. And so it's impossible to be right about everything when you're reacting on a daily basis for 3.5-4 hours a day. Same thing with Colin. Like, he does a lot of work. A lot of the people who react and say, like, oh, my God, I can't believe this thing, like, they don't do that much content. When you put out a lot of content, you're going to have more things to react to. By the way, can you stick with us for another segment? Because I want you to be able to hit my greatest failures as a part of this. Again, we're talking to Old Takes Exposed at Old Takes Exposed. Go find him on Twitter. Go follow him. He does great stuff, basically tracking the hot take culture. Are you good for another segment?
Sure.
All right, we're going to bring him back on the flip side. But first, let's go ahead and do I need to do any ads? I'm good. I think I'm good, right? All right, let's go ahead and we'll be right back with Old Takes Exposed. You're going to hear the dumbest opinions that I have ever had as he has collated them. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
We are joined by the man behind Old Takes Exposed. It's taken Twitter by storm. He's holding people account for their predictions. And this is pretty fantastic. Up at Outkick right now, if you go to the website, outkick.com, you can see all of the predictions that I have made that he has calculated that are the worst predictions of all time. Let's go to those now. People love when you get things right, but they love infinitely more, in my experience, when you get things wrong. And what have I gotten wrong the most?
Well, my favorite by far, this is my favorite. Everyone has their favorites of yours, but mine is when you flubbed the Peyton Manning to Titans news back in 2012.
All right, you can read some of those tweets. Let me explain. Peyton Manning went so far down the line to sign with the Titans that they had drafted his entire contract. I knew the guys who had drafted his entire contract that was ready for him to sign. The Titans were so convinced that Peyton Manning was going to sign with them that they had a private jet waiting at the airport, codenamed Titans 16, for Peyton Manning to go pick him up in Indianapolis and fly him to Nashville. And the entire ownership had basically written in that he was going to join the Titans when suddenly news comes that he is in fact going to join the Denver Broncos.
Well, and that's what you see play out in this string of tweets, because it's kind of like a hybrid. You were trying to report a scoop that would be really big for you to be able
to get fantastic for us, for the Titans to get Peyton Manning. I think they would have won a Super Bowl.
Right, and it would have been fantastic for you to break the news personally.
Yes.
And it would have been fantastic for you as a Titans fan and as a Nashville radio host for the whole thing to happen. So you were really excited. And I don't want to get through all the tweets, but you did say that source still believes that Manning will be a Titan, but Broncos aren't primary competition. It's the 49ers. And then you said,
that's what I was told.
Yeah, and then you said from the source that Manning said Titans have weathered the 49ers storm and expect pressure by Tuesday at the latest. So I guess you were hearing all your news about the plane and everything. And then,
I mean, how crazy is that, that the Titans had a private plane on the runway with the code name Titan 16 as their flying, you know, code to go pick up Peyton Manning? That's how confident they were that he was going to be a Titan. And then he went to the Broncos and obviously won a Super Bowl, went to two Super Bowls, and the Titans stunk ever since. And the Titans have stunk for a while until Marcus Mariota is finally there now, and now they're good again.
Well, yeah, and the day after when the news broke that Peyton was going to the Broncos, it was like you could see the gut punch in your
It was painful. That was painful.
Yeah. Manning to Broncos is a complete stunner. He took the worst team for the worst money, for the most money, stunner, which that turns out to be a little bit off because the Broncos turned out, they went 13-3 their first year. He was great.
Yeah, I think Peyton Manning is that good that he would have made the Titans. Like, people, the Titans sucked then, but I think if they had a decent quarterback, that Peyton Manning could have made them, you know, AFC South champs as well.
I don't disagree with that. I think that could possibly be correct. I have no idea. I don't remember what the Titans were like at the time. You probably remember a lot more than me. But the Marcus Cousins one is great. I think
Marcus Cousins, for people who don't remember this one.
Clay said on January 30th, 2010, that there's a 100% chance that DeMarcus Cousins is arrested for something in the next 5 years. 100%. Write it in stone. No wiggle room. And then DeMarcus Cousins, I suspect that someone from Kentucky sent it to him around that time. January 30th, 2015, exactly 5 years to the day, DeMarcus Cousins on Instagram wrote, "Today's the day," and kind of threw it back in Clay's face.
Hey, you know what's funny about that one is that was during the Super Bowl in Phoenix. I don't remember who was even playing in the Super Bowl in Phoenix, but I was out in Phoenix, and it was, you know, I'm on the West Coast, and my phone just explodes that morning. And I'm like, uh-oh, what happened? Are we at war with somebody? Did the president get assassinated? Like, what in the world has happened? And it was everybody reacting to that DeMarcus Cousins tweet. Because I've been out, like, drinking that night. And I don't know, it's like 5 a.m. on the West Coast, and my phone is just blowing up. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And eventually I made it all the way back to that. So that prediction ended up being wrong so far.
Well, then there's the Ohio State in 2014. You buried them.
I buried them after they lost the opening game of the season to Virginia Tech. I said they were done. I said they were dead.
Yeah, they were dead. Game two, they lost to Virginia Tech. They did kind of look dead. I mean, JT Barrett looked terrible that night.
They lost like 35-21 at home in the Shoe to Virginia Tech, who ended up being like a 6-6 team that year. And JT Barrett looked atrocious, and I said that the Ohio State was dead and the Big Ten was dead too.
Right, and I started following you. I'm an SEC football enthusiast too. That's how I got wind of you. It was probably like 5 years ago, because I'm a University of Florida grad, huge Florida guy.
Yeah,
and so I started following it, but I just saw all your tweets throughout the year. You're just taunting Ohio State.
Yes,
and you're taunting the only team in America more overhyped every year than Ohio State is Notre Dame. That's it.
And that's then, true. Still true, by the way.
when Ohio State got paired with Alabama, in the playoffs, they backed into the playoffs after that huge game against Wisconsin. And you were upset about it. You thought Baylor should get in. That's a legitimate argument. It could be a legitimate argument both ways. But you said that, remember the last time Saban coached against Urban Meyer, he almost killed him.
That's true. I got to let you go. That's a great line, by the way. He did almost kill him. And he might kill him again this coming season.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
We're going to be joined here momentarily by John Morosi. He's out there covering the Major League Baseball season with a fine-tooth comb as the LA Dodgers surge to the top of the leaderboard here in the odds to win the World Series, trying to get their first since 1988. I want to open with them, John. Have you ever seen anything like this? I keep seeing all these stats about the Dodgers and how a team hasn't done what they're doing since the 1800s. I mean, the winning streak, the tear that they have been on. You cover baseball for a living. You're steeped in the numbers. Put this into context for us.
Well, Clay, none of us alive right now have seen this, because the last team to have a 50-game stretch in which they won 43 of 50 games. So at any point in time, take any 50-game block for any team in the last century, and this is the first team to go 43-7 over any 50-game stretch since 1912, since the 1912 Cubs. Yeah. So that tells you a lot. Actually, I think it was actually the 1912 Giants, the New York Giants at that point in time, Clay. So that tells you. I mean, quite literally, that's more. It's been more than 100 years since we've seen a team that's been this hot for this long of a period of time. And they're on pace to have the best record in Dodgers history. That includes Brooklyn. And, of course, they also have a chance. They're within a couple games here of having a legitimate shot at the Mariners' record of 116 wins. So this is it's an extraordinary team, Clay. They're playing the number of walk-off wins they've had. They had, I think it was the month of July, something like 30% of all of their home games concluded in a walk-off win, which is just, that doesn't happen. So the numbers are staggering, but what we're seeing on our television sets or if we're there in person is historic and extraordinary, and I guess the only question we now have is what it all means for the month of October.
So how do you play this, right? I mean, they basically won the NL West. You mentioned that they could try and challenge the Mariners 116 for the best number of wins, most number of wins in the history of the sport. Maybe an analogy is we've seen this in the NBA when the Warriors kind of chased the best record. It ended up, I think, hurting them when they got to the postseason. They didn't have enough gas in the tank to get to the championship, get over the championship line. Does that apply in baseball too? Do we have any precedent to even contemplate? How do you handle the rest of the season, given that you know you're going to be in the postseason? What do you do from here?
It's a great question, Clay. And I think that there is, I believe, a way to pursue the record without compromising your playoff health. And I think for the most part, you're going to continue to play your everyday lineup every day. You may back off a pitcher here or there. If Kershaw is coming back, and clearly with him, Clay, there's no urgency to rush him back. Okay, you've got the best pitcher in the world when he's right. By the way, speaking of history, the only pitcher ever to win four consecutive Major League ERA titles. That's it. It's never happened before. And Kershaw did it through, I believe, last year. So with Kershaw, you're probably going to take some time with him and bring him back a little slower to make sure that everything is copacetic with his health issues and his lower back. But that, to me, Clay, just falls under the heading of good, prudent action that any comfortable first place team would do in the month of September. But the issue that I like to point out and the really unique thing about baseball is this. And since baseball went to the current playoff format, Clay, where you've got the wild card play-in game, if you will, or the wild card game, that involves that second wild card, which of course happens, that has happened every year since 2012. That was when the format changed. So since that game came into being, the winners of the wild card games have won more games in the division series than the number one overall seeds. So the number one overall seeds in terms of aggregate games. Now, the actual series score is 50-50. It's the wild card game winners have actually advanced half of the time, and they have a better record on aggregate in terms of their games against the top seeds because, Clay, that the baseball is unique in this way, that when you sit for a couple days and then all of a sudden all the pressure is on you, that really is not a very good way for you to play baseball. Baseball is a sport best played in rhythm and with a degree of relaxation. It is the rare sport among our favorites, Clay, that you cannot play better by playing harder. As Joe Maddon has said many times, try easier. And so what all that means to me, Clay, is that you've got to, I think it helps to play it out, to stay focused on a goal, because if you take your foot off the throttle too early, I think you run the risk of becoming one more of those statistics that say it's very hard for you to win when you're the number one overall seed.
We're talking to John Morosi and breaking down the Dodgers. One of the things the Dodgers have done is they have overshadowed what has been an outstanding season for the Astros. The Astros have got over 70 wins. They're the second best team in baseball right now, and nobody's really paying attention to them because the Dodgers have soaked up all the oxygen. How good a shape are the Astros in the American League?
Well, Clay, they're going to win their division. I think that there's no question about that. Their lead in the division is very comfortable. But this is not just about winning the division. And they have a chance to win the World Series. However, the lack of a major pitching acquisition at the deadline was a real, I believe, problem, and will continue to be one. They have one of the worst records, actually, in the sport since August 1st. And this is where the human element comes into play, because the Astros have a very strong analytical group. They also have the best lineup in the majors in terms of run score. They lead in basically every major category. You name it, run score, home runs, they are lapping the field in many cases. However, they have Lance McCullers Jr. on the DL. Dallas Keuchel, their ace, has had some health issues this year as well. So they've got a lot of pitching questions, but they did not address it with a major addition before the non-waiver trade deadline. And you can almost see, Clay, the way the players have been deflated since then. It is unquantifiable, the effect of that, but it's as if the Astros looked around and said, hey, the Dodgers got Darvish. Why did we make a move like that? We might play them in October. Why is their rotation now so much better than ours, or at least potentially better than ours? And I do believe there is a degree of frustration right now, Clay, in that locker room, because there's maybe a bit of jealousy, bitterness, however you want to say it, with regard to the other contending teams, especially the Dodgers, about how they did not make a big-time move. And I think that's going to be in the back of their minds, Clay, whenever they begin the playoffs.
Okay, last question for you here. We're talking to John Morosi here, breaking down baseball. The Cubs, all season long, people are like, what's wrong with the Cubs? Why can't the Cubs get it together? They win a World Series, then they kind of vanish a little bit. Now they're leading their division. I know it's only a game and a half, but do you think the Cubs go on to win this division? And if they do, does all this uncertainty during the regular season even matter? Can they still be in a really good spot when the postseason gets here?
Well, a couple things. First of all, Clay, the National League Central right now is really interesting to watch, because the Cardinals have now pulled even with the Brewers in second place. You referenced the game and a half back. That's both Milwaukee and St. Louis, who we thought was going to be a seller at the deadline, but kept their guys and is now making a run. So it tells you that it can still happen really quickly in this game, where you're able to flip the switch and become a good team again, as long as you're sort of around 500 at this time of year. So that's a good reminder for all of us. Do I think the Cubs still ultimately win the division? I do, because I think they're still the most complete team in that division. But St. Louis, don't sleep on them. You know, the Brewers, they have really regressed since the All-Star break, when their rival club, the Cubs, acquired Jose Quintana. So, to me, Clay, there is still a very powerful human element here about the way things can happen. When you do not make a move and your opponent does, it really, I think, changes the nature of your club. And for the Cubs, it's been a very big positive. They got Quintana. They've been better since then. They added Justin Wilson. They added Alex Avila. So, to me, Clay, I still think Chicago finds a way, the Cubs will, to win that National League Central, and they're going to be a dangerous team in what should be a fantastic first-round series, division series, between the Nationals and the Cubs. And the Nationals, of course, they're still working to find a way to get Steven Strasburg back. That's obviously going to be a huge development for a player and pitcher, Clay, who has still, to this point in time, he has made only one postseason start in his career, but he still was in just year one of a seven-year, $175 million contract, every penny guaranteed despite all the health concerns. So, well, one of the many reasons, Clay, why I say baseball, a pretty good sport for your kids to play if you're looking for one.
No kidding. I'd be happy to sign a 7-year, $175 million deal if anybody needs me for radio. Appreciate it as always, John Morosi. We'll talk to you next week.
Clay, thanks so much. Great time here, my friend. I know lots of football excitement as well. We'll see how the maize and blue look now that they're getting a little closer to game one.
Hey, maybe you guys can finish better than third in the Big Ten East.
Maybe. We'll know a lot after the game against Florida there in early September.
Yeah, I can't wait. Lots of really great openers. I'll be down in Atlanta for FSU, Bama, and then also
Excellent.
Tennessee, Georgia Tech. I can't wait.
Enjoy. Thanks so much, Clay.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad I was there.
Boys and girls.
I thought he thought I was like this ginormous piece of chicken.
Dying time's here.
This is Animal Thunderdome.
Jason Martin, take it away.
In Colorado, this one's actually pretty funny. A bear broke into an SUV, took it for a joyride, accidentally let off the parking brake, then crashed it into a mailbox. But... you know, that's great and all.
How did
the
bear get into and out of the car? Is this another example of bears being able to use their paws to open things again? We talked about this earlier this week. I think the bear, I don't know if science has caught up with this yet, but I think the bear's hand has become more grippable because I'm seeing bears going into homes all the time, opening car doors. I think they've evolved.
The bear hijacked a Subaru from a neighbor in some kind of a suburb here, released the parking brake, the vehicle rolls down the driveway, crashes into a utility box, and then the mailbox. The ruckus wakes up the man and his wife. They go outside to find their SUV totaled, call 911, fearing humans were still inside. They see the bear, like, running off. They find the steering wheel and radio ripped out, the back window's broken, and this is why this story is perfect for Outkick. The bear pooped in the car before it left.
What an ass. That is
such a jerk move by that bear.
The bear opens the car door. The car starts to roll. It takes out and totals everything. And then the bear just takes off. He gets out of the car. Was the door open? I would love to see this on video. Tell me somewhere there is a video of this bear from like a home surveillance camera, you know, security cam, something that will show us the bear wrecking everything. Do we have any video?
I have not seen a video yet in the sources that I've looked at, but I'm still continuing to try and source through, and hopefully somebody... I can't believe these people wouldn't have grabbed their cell phone or something and taken photos, but I haven't seen anything yet. But, yeah, and there's no excrement photos either. But what a move by the bear.
I know what that looks like.
Insult to injury.
Yeah, bear just... it wasn't enough to just dunk on these people. He had to just hang on the rim, too. What else we got?
Sarasota, Florida. A family heard rustling in their attic. Then they were surprised to find a 6-foot-long boa constrictor that had been living there for 2 to 4 years. CBS affiliate reports they had been hearing noises coming from their attic. They spotted a snake coming through an opening in the ceiling in Inglewood, Florida. Animal control arrived at the home, were unable twice to remove this snake. There is a video of this that I'm going to post, basically showing this snake slithering through their attic. Slow motion.
This is 6-foot boa constrictor living in the attic. This is what I'm talking about with these snake people. I don't know where this thing came from, but everybody who has a snake, the snake escapes. This was in their attic for how long? 2 to 4 years?
Yeah, animal control officials said that it likely got into the attic from nearby tree branches. They were able to finally get it out the third time that they went there. They originally thought it was a rattlesnake, then found out it was a Colombian red-tail boa constrictor.
Colombian bred. See, this is why I just bought a place in Florida. And the problem with Florida is that every animal is there now. And I don't know if it was the hurricane. Remember back in Hurricane Andrew, they said that's what they're explaining, how like all these boa constrictors and like pythons and anacondas and stuff now live in Florida. There are monkeys. Like every animal that can live in Florida now lives there. And this is just totally what I would expect. Like the snake gets away, it climbs into an attic, and it lives there for 2 to 4 years. I wouldn't have been able to live in this house. If I found out that there was a boa constrictor in my house, I would sell it. I mean, I just would. I'm not going to deal with that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Okay. ESPN has this section of their website called The Undefeated where they just write about black people. And it's like, oh, black people, black people, black people. It's a very exciting part of the website. And as part of that website, they decided, you know what? We need to rank the 50 greatest black athletes of all time. And then they put it up on the front page of ESPN.com, same front page that they refused to credit OutKick and Johnny Manziel on. And I haven't even read their list of the 50 greatest black athletes. I do know, however, because I saw that headline when they were not crediting OutKick or me for the Johnny Manziel interview, I do know that they manufactured their own controversy, which is so ESPN it hurts. They left Tiger Woods off of the list and then had Mike Wilbon write a column complaining because they left Tiger Woods off of the list. Think about how ridiculous of a construct this is. They made a list. It's a made-up list that they created. And they created their own controversy on the list so that Mike Wilbon could write a piece disagreeing with the list, leaving off Tiger Woods. It's one of the most shameless, absurd things I've ever heard of. This is not like an argument where there's evidence elsewhere. They made up their own list, saw that they left Tiger Woods off of it, and then had Mike Wilbon write a piece disagreeing with the made-up list because it left Tiger Woods off of it. But when I saw this, first of all, I thought, this is ridiculous. Okay, are we going to have a list of the 50 greatest white athletes, the 50 greatest Hispanic athletes, 50 greatest Asian athletes? Like, this is such a stupid list to do, right? It's a stupid list by a stupid company designed to engage people who are stupid. And so I said, you know what we got to do? We got to mock this. And so I came up with the idea, because Tiger Woods was left off the list, I said, what if we make up the OutKick list of the greatest Asian athletes of all time? And I said, I'm going to do this. So last night, I sat down with my notepad. I did my research. I came up with the unquestioned, without parallel, greatest collection of 10 Asian American athletes in the history of the universe. All right? My list is infallible. It is without fail. It is perfect. I thought to myself, I will let everybody else see if they can figure out who is on my list of OutKick's 10 greatest Asian American athletes of all time. Now, there are important qualifiers here. You probably have noticed. I am saying Asian and American. That means you have to be American. You've heard me say this. When we open up the phone lines, people are going to call and give me people who are not American. That is the number one category. There are two requirements here. Asian and American, all right? Those are the two requirements. We're going to get some calls that feature neither an American nor an Asian. I think people are going to swing and miss on who's Asian, too. So it's going to be like those Chinese restaurants where you go and they employ Hispanic people. You're like, wait a minute. You ever notice that? Like, if you go out to a Chinese restaurant, they now employ Hispanic people. It's like they're trying to confuse you. Because you're like, wait a minute, this is an Asian restaurant and you're just employing Hispanic people to try to confuse me and make me think that they're Asian. This happens all the time. Every Asian restaurant in the country, you go into it now, it's not all Asian people, but they will employ Hispanic people and try to fool you into thinking that they only employ Asian people. I'm on to you. I know the trick that you're playing here, all right? 877-996-6369. I have, as Oscar Schindler said, the list. And the list is life. And so on my list of life, I have the 10 greatest Asian American athletes ever to grace our fair country. This is OutKick's response to the 50 greatest black athletes that ESPN broke out. I have the 10 greatest Asian athletes because, again, I sit on the iron throne of inclusivity. I am the king of tolerance. I felt awful for the other races being left out. And so today we are debuting the OutKick list of the top Asian athletes of all time. All right, I'm going to go around the horn here. 877-996-6369. I want all of you to give me a name. Jason Martin, Danny G, and Justin. And I will tell you whether my list of life here of Asian American athletes, whether you have gotten one of my guys on the list. I'll start with you, Jason Martin.
Tiger Woods.
All right. Tiger Woods, here is the first question we have to ask.
I know.
What percentage Asian do you have to be to classify yourself as Asian on the list? Tiger Woods is on the list. His mom, I believe her name was Clotilda, if I'm not mistaken. I did the research genetically. He is a Kablin Asian, according to his own dad's designation. But Tiger Woods is one half Asian.
He's more Asian than he is black, actually, I believe.
Well, if Earl Woods is black and his mom, they would be exactly 50-50, right?
Not according to the research that I did about 20 minutes ago.
All right, what is your Tiger Woods racial research? We have this big decision for the racial list here. What's that?
I don't have, the actual percentage
breakdown. So what research did you actually do? You made, a big deal, you had his DNA code in front of you right now. What do you actually have?
Well, I had something that said he's more Asian than he is black if you actually look at his family lineage.
What was your source?
One of three or four different websites that I went to.
What's the website?
I'll find it, I'll get back to you.
See, all right. This is like the early Tebow watch. This is early Tebow watch. You say, oh, I've got all this research, and then I question you on it, and you don't have any of it to present. Oh, it's on a website. Oh, you think? All right, Jason Martin is tabled right now as he researches the genetic history of Tiger Woods. Who do you have, Danny G?
Is the great Olympian Apollo Ohno on your list?
Apollo Ohno, is he on the list? Do we need some music here like it's a game show?
If he's not, it's a bad list.
Hey, do you get working on Tiger Woods, all right?
I am.
You're in the corner right now. Apollo Ohno is number 6 on the list of greatest Asian athletes of all time. If you don't know who Apollo Ohno is, he is a skater. Asian-American.
Born in Seattle.
Born in Seattle, bang. One of the 10 greatest Asian athletes of all time, according to OutKick's definitive list of greatest Asian athletes. This is the list every nap from now on. People say, is so-and-so on the greatest Asian list? You got to say, well, what did OutKick have it? Because this is the definitive list. This is without question the greatest list. You are correct. Apollo Ohno is number 6 on OutKick's list of the greatest Asian-American athletes of all time.
RealClearSports.com is that website, by the way. I found my research.
All right, Real Clear Sports, I appreciate that, is an aggregation site. It's not a real website. It collects articles from other places. So what is the source that Real Clear Sports is citing?
This is what it quotes. While he is considered by many as an African-American by blood, Woods is actually much more Asian than black.
The undefeated did not consider him black enough, right? That's their controversy because they had to have Mike Wilbon write about it. So they said he's not black. All right, so what are you saying? Now read that again.
All right. While he is considered by many as an African-American by blood, Woods is actually much more Asian than black. Though Earl had a huge impact on shaping Woods' golf, Tiger's mother's influence on his upbringing cannot be overlooked. He was raised as a Buddhist, actively practiced his faith from childhood. She was the daughter of a tin mine owner in Thailand, met Earl while he was a U.S. Army Ranger fighting the Vietnam War, then moved with him to Southern California.
All right, so that still doesn't prove anything. He has a black dad and an Asian mom. To me, that would be 50% black, 50% Asian. How is he more Asian?
I'll have to continue to look.
Yeah, you're going to have to continue the research here because right now we're 50-50. You got a black dad and an Asian mom. I'm not an expert on
fractions. Still on the list anyway, though. He's the top of the list.
I have him number 2 on the list. The second greatest. I'm including him as an Asian athlete. I have Tiger Woods, although I do understand that it might be controversial. Is 50% Asian enough to count as Asian? We're going to say yes. I've Tiger Woods at number 2 on the list of greatest Asian athletes of all time. But I still want you to explain how he's a lot more Asian than black when his dad is black and his mom is Asian. All right, Justin.
Hines Ward.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Hines Ward, I have at number 11 on the list. He was the first one outside the list. Now, I'll be honest with you. I bumped him because of the half thing. He's only half Asian. His mom's Korean. His dad's black.
He's born in Seoul, though. He's born in South Korea.
Yeah. What?
So I'm just telling you.
And you made sure to specify that it's Asian American. I mean, how much? I don't know.
I'm telling you. Hines Ward did not make my list.
He's in number 7, I think, for me.
Also, all right, your list doesn't matter. I don't need to hear anything about your list. There's only one list that matters. It's the coach's list.
Not if you get that one wrong.
No, hold on. Jason Martin, you got your list over there. You're like the guy who's trying to make the team, and you're watching the basketball team practice.
Oh, I'm on the
team. Your list is great. You're like, oh, this guy's going to be the power forward. Your list doesn't matter. Only list that matters is the coach's list.
Coach needs to be right, or I'm going to call the coach out. Hines Ward, if Apollo Ohno, who was born in Seattle, the whole deal, he had the same mixed thing as well.
Apollo Ohno is 100% Asian. When it comes to the decision-making, If I have to go with 100% Asian dude or a 50% Asian dude, I'm giving credence to the whole Asian dude.
I'm participating under protest at this point.
Hines Ward's not on the list. You swung and missed,
Justin. Hines Ward's got to be on
the list. 877-996-63. You can write an article just like Mike
Wilbon.
I'll write it today. Complaining. Hines Ward is one of the great. You can write it.
Wait,
he's not on the list.
Apollo
the list is
Ono
life.
Is
he's
not
off.
100% Asian.
No, that's
Asian.
My whole point. He's
What's
not
that?
100%.
Yeah, Apollo not. Ono is not 100% Asian.
What percentage is he?
Well, I don't know, but his mom was European-American.
Yeah.
Wait, first of all, stop. European-American, she was white, all right?
Okay. Still,
so
that eliminates
100% Asian.
Do you know,
hey,
do you know that to be true?
Where's Hot Takes Exposed guy? Where's
no.
Cold Takes Exposed guy?
Do you know that his mom is not Asian?
I mean, according to this source right here.
Well, he
What's
was raised
source?
By his Japanese-born father.
The Seattle
his
Times.
Parents divorced when he was a baby.
All right, there's too many people talking at once.
Born father.
Stop talking. Your source, Justin.
The Seattle Times.
All right, and they say what?
Let's see, Jerry, he was raised by.
This is why you should have gone to me, not
13
Justin.
Years. Yeah, go to Jason.
Why are you researching other people's genetic backgrounds when you still haven't provided the first evidence that Tiger Woods is more Asian than black?
I'm fine with him being 50-50. He's on the list either way. If you want to go with 50-50, that's fine. I'm just basing it on the two things that I read. It doesn't
Which
necessarily
are just
have
saying,
percentages.
Like, I'm just saying, if you have a black dad and an Asian mom, you are 50-50, right? Like, that is I am not an expert on fractions, but the way that we define lineage here, if your dad is black and your mom is Asian, it's hard for you to be more Asian than black because you're half black and half Asian.
Not true, because the black parent could also be part black.
All right, that could be true, but we have not had any evidence provided of that yet. All right, we got to go to a break. You guys are not doing a good job so far.
Okay, I got it. I've got it. I found it.
Okay.
He is a mix of half Asian, Chinese, and Thai, one quarter African American, one eighth Native American, and one eighth Dutch. That's why he's more Asian than he is black.
So Earl Woods
is not full black either.
So he's half black, and I can't even figure out what Earl Woods' background is then. We're going to discuss this. I need you to fraction break this out for me. We're breaking down the list in honor of ESPN's undefeated list of the greatest black athletes. OutKick is producing the greatest, most definitive list of Asian American athletes ever created in the history of the universe. My list is life. It is the greatest Asian American athlete list of all time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. All right, game off. We got to pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying, flag on the play. You already talked about that, but there's just so much good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. Unique stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, hilarious emojis for taunting friends when when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their new unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go, so get off the bench and go download it now free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!